All right, today is July 27th, year 2008, and it's the 11th Sunday after Pentecost. I'm going to start out with just a brief commentary on some of the readings here in the Mass. And then we're going to talk right now in the intro. It says, God in His holy place, God who maketh men of one mind to dwell in a house, of one mind. Today you've got all these so-called Catholics who think they're Catholic and they're all heretics and apostates on one or more or two many points. And they're all attending Mass together in the same church, and they're not of one mind. And they don't care, because they have no way to know what the other person believes who's sitting next to them, and they don't care. That is one of the things we keep harping upon you about, the specific abjuration and a profession of faith. That when a Catholic, so-called Catholic, doesn't want to tell you what he believes in, point by point, he's already not Catholic by that fact alone. Because he denied the Catholic obligation to profess his faith when he's demanded to do so. And so as a result of this attitude amongst these fallen away Catholics who think they're Catholic, nobody knows what anybody believes in, and nobody really cares. So how could they all be of one mind in the same church? The only thing they agree upon is that they have a true valid Mass and that they can go to confession on Saturday. But when it comes to the deposit of the faith, they don't care one centillion. They don't care one bit. They all believe in different doctrines which are actually heretical. One, either they're all heretical, or one's true and one's not true. So they have a whole smorgasbord of beliefs. They're like cafeteria Catholics. These traditionalists are all the same. They're no different than the Vatican tours. How are they going to know what the people believe in their church? There's a nobody, and I mean nobody, tests these people to ask them what they believe in. All the priest cares about is you go in and say you're Catholic, and he says, fine, you can approach the altar rail. Right? He doesn't ask you, what do you believe in, point by point by point. Throughout the scriptures, our Lord says that His people are of one mind and one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. St. Paul says in Romans 16, 17, 18, brethren, I beseech you to mark those who make dissensions, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. How could that be done if they don't want to even tell you what they believe in? And they don't. They hide their whatever they believe in, they even hide, because you know what? That shows they have a guilty conscience. That's proof positive that they're holding on to heresies. And they don't want to give up those heresies. It's so bad to show you that they know they're holding on to heresies, all of them. We'll get back to these other two gospel readings I want to talk about. But we had a very providential thing happening this week when Brother Will and Sister Jane and Sister Marie went to Albuquerque to pick up a recent convert who came in to the Albuquerque airport. Well, when they were up there, they went out to have dinner. And while they were eating, you know, they look like nuns. And they dress like nuns. So these particular so-called Catholics saw them with Will eating, and they came up to talk to them. And they said, oh, we wanted to know what order you're from and all that, and you told them that.
They asked Sister Dave if she was a nun, and then she said, well, no, we're Catholic evangelists. And
yeah.
And then they said, we're traditionalists. I said, oh, really, who are you with? And then he went on to say he's the independent chapel with this Alberto Gonzalez and this and that. I said, well, no, you're not Catholic. I said, you don't believe the salvation dog. But then he tried to tell me he did. And I said, well, no, he doesn't believe that. And I said, what about Benedict XVI? And they said, is he still the Pope? He said, yeah, he's still the Pope. I said, well, what's that? That's, he can't be the Pope. You know, he's a heretic, this and that. And they got into about kissing the Quran. Well, then he started getting all, well, you guys don't have a proper understanding. And I said, well, you're a heretic. And then he said, well, no, we're all heretics.
Okay, and we'll stop at that one point, and we'll continue. He'll tell us the story. So he's arguing with him. He's saying Benedict XVI is a heretic. You're a heretic. You know, you're holding on to heresies. And then this particular individual says to Will, we're all heretics. How's that for a winner? This guy's not afraid to even admit it. They're so bad now that they know, well, something's wrong in this church, because we all believe in different things, but the reason he's saying that is because they got that theology that heretics aren't guilty anymore.
Yeah.
He means really material heretics. He wouldn't have said formal, because then he'd admit he's on the road to hell. So he's actually saying it's acceptable. He says, we're all heretics. Yeah. What kind of a church does this guy belong to? Now, the Father Albert Gonzalez, we're going to get into that in a minute, because it's very telling. And we'll get back to the story in a minute. He's the priest that visited me down in Truth or Consequences here from Albuquerque with this other friend that we were trying to convert. And he was coming here to try to convert me. I get not convert, because they don't try to convert anybody. He was just trying to come down and have some type of a false ecumenism with me. And like, we're all one, you know. So when he comes in to sit down to talk to me in Mary's little house over there in TRC, he starts saying, well, we're, you know, I came down here to speak to you because we're all one. I said, well, we're not all one. You're not. We don't all believe in the same things. You're not Catholic. You're associated with the Society of Pius X. So he got kind of angry at that, of course. But we didn't get to talk too long because right away I'm bringing out the point about, well, if you're with the SSP 10, then you believe this is when the apostate anti-pope JP II was reigning in that conciliar church. And I said, all right, well, I'm going to prove to you you're not Catholic. I'm going to say, what about JP II kissing the Quran? Now, I was surprised on his answer, because his answer was a true answer. An SSP 10 priest wouldn't tell you this. But he did say, I says, what is that? Is that just scandal or is that idolatry? And he goes, no, that's an act of idolatry. So he admitted that. I said, good, Father, that's true. I says, but you know the SSP 10 will not say that? I says, because it's much more than just scandal. It's idolatry. And if you don't call idolatry idolatry, then you're guilty of idolatry. So good, you passed that first part of the test, Father. I says, now, second part. You get up in the pulpit and preach it to your flock, Father Albert Gonzalez from Albuquerque. Oh, no, that's not my duty. I can't make that judgment. I can't. You just told me right here he's an idolater. It is your duty to get up there and blast it out on your pulpit and let those people know that JP II committed an act of idolatry, an attack against the true God, because he did it publicly for the whole world to see, and it's your job to let the people know how vicious and wicked that crime is. First of all, to make reparation against the blasphemies against our Lord God. You can do all your First Fridays, you can pray all your rosaries, you can have a whole bunch of devotions to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. But when you do not stand up for His holy name, when it's being desecrated and blasphemed, your devotions are all false. All of our prayers are calculated to give us the ability to profess the faith in public when it demands it must be done. And this act of JP II kissing the Quran is an abomination. And anybody who thinks he's even Catholic has to get up, who wants to be Catholic, and blast this crime to the high heavens as an act of idolatry, an insult against the true God, and an act of apostasy from the pulpit. As Isaiah says in Isaiah 58:1, cry out, cease not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their wicked doings, and the house of Jacob their sins. What good is it for you to call yourself Catholic and to watch these public abominations, and you keep your mouth shut and say nothing about it? Well, when he told me he can't do that, he's not his duty, he's not allowed to judge, I said, wrong, Father. It's every Catholic's obligation to admonish sinners and to rebuke people that are sinning when it's within their power and the means to do so. Therefore, Father, you are guilty of his sin of idolatry and apostasy by sins of omission, because you do not inform your flock about this man's crimes, because you want to get their donations. So what does he do? He gets all angry, right? He gets upset. He goes, all right, I got to go. He says, I got to go. My flock is waiting. I says, oh, so you're running out now. I got more things to tell you, Father. You're not getting out that easy. No, I got to go. I says, well, let me tell you something, Father. You're an apostate yourself, and you're not Catholic. And he's a big jamope. In New Jersey, we call big guys jamopes. Jamopes, if they're like goofy, you know, or heretical, or buffoonery. That's what he is. That's the height of stupidity. That's the height of evilness and foolishness and eccentricity. You can put whatever word you want it. When this guy professes to believe in Jesus Christ and somebody's kissing, he doesn't say that. He's a buffoon. So we call him a big jamope. And he's going out of the house, and I said, you're an apostate. I said, you're not Catholic. All right? And I tell you, I said, don't raise your hand to me, because I'd be like King David. You're going to be on the floor in a split second. Because I don't put up with apostasy in my face, in my house. You came to Mary's house to try to convert. He doesn't try to convert us. To think that you're in communion with me. I had the intention to grow you, and I had all intentions to sit there as long as I had to, and really charitably and nicely talk to this guy. But when he ran out, that was it for me. I had all the papers, and I was trying to give. I says, at least take these papers and read them when you go. He won't touch nothing. So when I... And that's, it'll be a lesson to all us brother Catholics. Once the person's not listening anymore and they're leaving, it's our duty to at least tell them, you're not Catholic, you're an apostate, you're a heretic, and you're on the road to hell. That's our obligation. So we told them that. He gets out by the car, and then Ron sees him, and he hears Father Gonzalez is by his car, and he's yelling, I'm a Catholic priest! Nobody can treat me like that. I'm a Catholic priest. And Ron Elmley comes over and goes, you're not Catholic, you're a fraud. And then I'm on the porch and say, you're not Catholic, Father, you're an apostate. Don't kid yourself, you're not Catholic. Now, this is that Father Albert Gonzalez. Remember the name. And Will's not going to tell you the next part of the story. And he was just talking to one of his flock, one of his stupid sheep. one of his dumb sheep who deserve what they get for going to that bastard. Who told Will, first of all, we're all heretics?
Yeah.
Who admitted it? Wasn't ashamed to admit it. But obviously, I guess he thinks there's no crime in being a heretic anymore. And if he admitted he was a heretic, wait, think about this, number one. Oh, okay, well, what is your heresy? Well, I believe that Jews who died as Talmudic Jews can go to heaven. That's a heresy. You believe that? Well, why do you still believe it, you dummy? You know what I'm saying?
I know.
No heretic really knows he's a heretic, really. Luther thought he was right. You know, it's the old saying, no heretic knows he's a heretic. They always think they're right. Here's a guy that's admitting he's a heretic. And he doesn't even want to change his ways. It's absurd.
It is.
But what else did that attended his mass say to you?
Well, then we were getting into the crime of Benedict XVI and asking how he couldn't be because he went to the, you know, New York City, this and that, when he went to the synagogue. And then I said, what do you think? I said, what do you think of JP2 kissing the Quran? And he said, oh, that's an act of love. An act of love, he said, from JP2 kissed the Quran. I said, oh, man, forget it. And that was, I mean... What more can you say?
Right. They went on, and Will, brother, went on, told me they're in hell, and the whole thing, you're in damnation, and they got real angry and all that.
Yeah. But gave
he gave him a card. Said, you, told him you're in damnation, you're on the road to hell, you're outside the church. But let's stop right there. Kissing the Quran is an act of love. That's what he said. As I tell you, folks, that boy's locked up for 1 month, and if he doesn't repent, he's being burnt at the stake. He is a deadly danger to Catholics with his lousy, filthy infection. Because he calls himself a Catholic. That's the danger. We wouldn't do that to a Muslim or a Jew as long as they keep themselves quiet. This is a guy that says he's Catholic and telling other people that kissing the Quran is an act of love. Now, why does he believe that? Because Father Albert Gonzalez, it says it's not his duty to get up in the pulpit and say kissing the Quran is an act of idolatry, which is what he told me personally, privately, in TRC, in Truth or Consequences, and he's paying the consequences right now. He would not profess that truth to his flock, and so now his flock is running around and think kissing the Quran is an act of love. Will found this out, and because why? We profess the faith. That's why. We always find things out because we ask people what they believe in. We use the mouth that God has given us along with His graces to open up that mouth and say, hey, what do you believe in, by the way? And you hear some very surprising, ugly, filthy things from these so-called Catholics. And this Father Gonzalez is giving these people communion and they're attending Mass and they're going to confession and he's treating them as Catholic and it's all sacrilege, it all stinks, it's all a mess. The worst crimes being committed today are sacrilegious abuses of our Lord and Savior and the Holy Eucharist. His precious body, blood, and soul and divinity is being put in defiled vessels by these bastard priests that are denying the faith. They are more evil than the Jews. They are more evil than the Jews because they have the whole New Testament error. They had Jesus Christ's precious body, blood, soul, and divinity, and they're spitting all over it and abusing it. That's why I am most angry at them. No one else in the world am I more angry, is God more angry at those people that go by His name who are not Catholic, that give Him a bad name and commit all these crimes. Now I ask you people, this guy saying that's an act of love kissing the Quran, you know, it's like, you should have this guy, he'd be better off kissing horse dung than a Quran, you know? But the Quran he's saying is an act of love, right? How can you absolutely imagine, and this is a traditional, an SSP tenor. We're not talking about a hardcore Vatican tour. We're talking about the fringe element Vatican, the traditionalists, that the diamond brothers say you can go to their masses, those diamond apostates up there. So what are we talking about? This was by the will of God. A dogma is eternal no matter whether you believe it or not. It binds you in conscience whether you believe it or not. And it excommunicates you when you deny it, whether you believe it or not. Basic dogmas will excommunicate you automatically. Deeper ones if you had knowledge of the dogma and you deny it. That's a basic dogma right there. We're talking about the Quran. A basic dogma is our belief in the Holy Trinity. Therefore, anybody who doesn't believe in the Holy Trinity de facto is not Catholic. It doesn't worship the true God and his religion is false. The Catholic religion is the only true religion. All are false. Those are all basics, folks. And then when they look at that adjuration, you weed out the heretic. The one guy that believed in everything on the adjuration except the fact that he believed God created homosexuals, men to be homos. That baffled me. I said, you believe in everything but the what? This guy's out of my mind. Obviously, he was a homosexual who loved what he was doing. And he didn't want to give up his sin. I wrote my article God did not create men to be homosexuals for his purpose and everybody like him. Because it's bad enough that you commit the sin, which is an immoral sin. It's a mortal sin against the moral commandments. But when you say God created men to be homosexuals, that's heresy. That's a blasphemy. You're saying God created evil. It's not the homo's fault anymore. It's God's fault. God wants to have a world of homos. That's what they're telling you. I had a priest upstate New York, and at St. Patrick's Church up there, and we were going to the dummy over there. And when I was up there with the diamonds, committing all kinds of sins myself, of omission and all that, by just being up in there. And I had it out with that priest on the homosexual thing. He believed God. He says, you know, the homos feel real nice when you tell them God created them to be that way, because then they feel real comfortable that they got no problem, they committed no sin. I said, Father, you just put the nail in their coffin, and you just let them rest comfortably in their damnation. Ezekiel says you sew cushions on their elbows and put pillows under their heads and make them sleep comfortably in their sins, so that when they die, they go to the deepest pits of hell, thinking they're going to be saved and forgiven, when the opposite is true. And I said, you need to tell me then, Father, if God created homos, and there's homos in heaven. He said, yes, they are. There's homos in heaven, but they're non-practicing. That's what he said to me. I'll tell you, if I had power over that guy, 1 month, the head's coming off. And you're being burned at the stake, you bastard. Don't you tell me that our Catholic God believes. That's not our Catholic God. I'm here to tell you folks what the Catholic God really teaches. And I'll tell you, I said it many times. When we debate Protestants of goodwill, sort of goodwill, have a little bit of goodwill, and even ones of bad will, I'll even say that. They know what the true Catholic Church teaches, and they know what we're teaching is true. They do. They even admit it to us. They're laughing at these other guys saying, look, at least Rich is not a hypocrite. He's teaching what I may not agree with what the Catholic Church teaches, but he's teaching what the Catholic Church teaches. You guys are a bunch of compromisers. You say whatever you want to please people, depending on what mood you're in. But here we are talking about the result of Father Albert Gonzalez's sins of omission. For not telling his flock the truth, by not demanding that they believe that truth, he's giving Holy Communion, because he's a valid priest, to people that believe kissing the Quran is an act of love, when he rightly said it was an act of idolatry. But you see how he shares in the guilt of that sin. You see how he fosters sacrilegious receptions of Holy Communion. And I will tell you, I've been in, and all of us in here have been through the gamut with these people. None of them inquire as to what the people believe in, and they don't care. And your job is to go into that church and don't look to the right and don't look to the left. Don't look in front of you. Don't look in back of you. And go out of the church as fast as possible and get in your car and don't talk to nobody, because somebody might reveal a heresy. And we're going to have a big fight. And Father's going to come back and say, we don't talk about those things. Laymen cannot make theological distinctions. Keep your mouth shut and don't fight. Just come in here and have your Holy Communion and talk about the football game on the last Sunday, or the basketball game, or how your stocks are doing, or you got a new car. But don't talk about the faith, because we get into fights. It's uncomfortable. How does that foster the one mind that Paul says we should have as brothers? And we have that one mind here in Mary's Little Remnant. Because we obey all of God's commandments, and we make sure all the other brothers are doing their best to do the same, especially in the areas of faith and even in morality. And if they have a problem with moral issues, we tell them, you must be repentant and you want to get better, and we'll accept and help you. But if you're obstinate, we even cast them out, like St. Paul says. Don't even eat with a brother who is truly a Catholic, but he's in obstinate moral sins. But this was a great thing they laid on a platter of brother. He'll tell you, he blasted them. There was a lot more they said. Will is always at, he went out there and said, you're a heretic, you're outside the church. And then would he get all fussy at the end? I'm supposed to love my fellow man when he's sinning. Your true love of fellow man is to tell him when he's wallowing in horse crap. It's a, hey, clean yourself off, you smell. Now that's spiritual stink. Horse crap is nothing. And if you dwell in horse crap, it can do you good even. It'll humble you. But what I'm trying, at least on the natural plane, people will know that that's something wrong with that. Yeah. If your brother's wallowing in heresy, it's an act of love to rebuke him and tell him this is dead wrong. God hates this stuff. It's an abomination. I'm sorry. He thinks anybody can do it. It's an act of love. Somebody should go in and rape his whole family next week, really. It's an act of love.
Well, I said, what about the first, you know, love thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. You got to do that before you can love you. And then he tried to go, you guys say you love God, but then you hate your neighbor, this and that. I said,
yeah, he thinks we
stand up for the true God here. I'm telling you, that's not. I'm acting lovingly by telling them it's an act of idolatry and stuff,
yeah,
like
exactly,
that. You
yeah.
know.
Well, we're living in the days when Jesus said in Luke 18:8, when the Son of Man comes, think you we find faith? You know what that guy says? Yeah, plenty of faith. We all in the church, we're heretics, but we're just material heretics. It's illogical, it's an abomination, it's non-judgmentalism. They go in there and they pray with Jews, they pray with Indians, they respect false gods, they kiss the Quran, they say the old covenant is still in effect. They say Talmud of Judaism, which denies Jesus Christ and blasphemes our blessed mother's intrinsic to Catholicism. When it comes to us true Catholics, you watch how they get rid of their non-judgmentalism and start judging us. Because we're judging them. You see? It's like the democracy thing. You're supposed to say all men are equal and we all have a right to our own beliefs. Isn't that what they're believing in? Follow your own conscience. The truth is whatever you believe it is. And even if you per se happen to be wrong, poor puppy, it's not your fault. If you think that raping women is okay because your generations of savage, pagan, heathen family members have been doing it, ain't nothing wrong with that. That's very nice because you think it's right. Matter of fact, they would even tell you in that theology, if you didn't do that, you would go to hell. And it goes on and on. It stinks to the high heavens. Father Albert Gonzalez keeps his mouth shut and doesn't care one bit what his flock believes in. You know, usually you get to think, this was really shocking, because usually you expect to hear the standard Brother Francis Maloof heresy or apostasy, which says, well, I agree kissing the Quran is a great scandal. I agree it's a scandal too, but isn't it a little bit more, quite a bit more than that? Like, what kind of a scandal, you know? Like, what kind of a scandal? It's the worst scandal of all. An apostasy against the Catholic faith. It's called idolatry, you knucklehead. They're going to get dementia. They're going to go crazy. God is cursing them. And they're worthy of it. God only waits so long after you have the truth thrown in your face. And when you reject it and don't repent, you become foolish, you become buffoon, you become an idiot, you become stupid, you become eccentric, you become cursed, because you have not stood up for God. So let this be a warning to all these people out there who are going to these churches and the danger to... Now, okay, you say everybody in this church doesn't believe like that, but that person does and nobody cares and nobody cared to ask them. You found out. How long did the conversation take place?
5 minutes.
5 minutes? Yeah. 5 minutes. Because we're true Catholics by the very nature of us obeying our obligation to profess the faith. We did our inquisitions and we weeded out a heretic in 5 minutes. That person can go to that chapel for week after week after week, year after year, and nobody ever asks them or ever even cares. What is this all about? You should be so proud and loving of your faith that you should want to blast it out from the rooftops. What kind of a person is this? I tell you, when God's chosen people go bad, watch out, because they are the most evil, wicked, and stupid people that ever could. God said that. St. Peter said it in 2 Peter 2:20. That after flying from the pollution of this world to the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they again become entangled and overcome. Their latter condition will be worse than their former. For the better for them not to have known the way of justice and after having known to fall away. And that's why I say, and I'm reading it, and God's marked on my... He's told me, turn away from these people, Richard. These fallen away Catholics, these nominal Catholics. If any of them are good, I'll weed out a few of them, very few. Turn to the Jew. Turn to the Protestant. Turn to the Muslim. And work on converting them. Because that's where most of the goodwill souls are going to be. Not a lot. In the population, but you're going to, even I always tell the brothers, if you consider 1% or 2% of the world population, that's still a lot of people. But St. Paul said it to the Jews in his day, I am no longer going to preach to you stiff-necked Jews, I will now turn to the Gentiles. And I say to you nominal Catholics, that's why I don't send out journals anymore. I will no longer preach to you nominal Catholics, I did enough, you know where I am, you know who I am, if you want to find me, and there are perchance a few good ones out there, you'll get to me, God will make sure he'll give you a dream, he'll lead you to the website, somehow you'll get a hold of me. I ain't coming after you no more. I am now mostly going to the Talmudic Jews, the apostate Jews, and the Muslims and Protestants to convert them. Because our Lord said the Jews will convert a certain portion of Jews, and I see it already. At least on the natural plane, they have more honesty than these, even though they're dishonest. I mean, my word I use for them is they're less dishonest, and they are. I see God working with them for conversions. There's nobody in this world more evil, and I just from my dealings, and I tell it to you, than these nominal Catholics. Especially these traditionalists and these Vatican tours. I don't even know who's worse. They're all equal. All in one lump. But here you're seeing what happens when you commit a sin of omission and you don't warn your flock about that kissing the Quran. That big jamoke, Father Gonzalez, when he left my house, said, I'm Catholic. Now, you ain't Catholic, Father. You're the furthest one from being Catholic. Because he's running out the house. See, now I got to get him on the way out and blast him with the last blast. Because I had everything ready for him. I was going to sit down, go over everything with him. But it never. The minute you get them with one question, they get all fussy and run out on you. Because they can't answer it. They get angry, you know. Oh, this kid's a judgmentalist. Now he called me a heretic. Oh, my flock is waiting for confession. Forget it, Father. Your confessions are useless because you're not inside the Catholic Church. You can't even get a pacaya to get supply jurisdiction. Every one of his confessions are useless. He can't absolve nobody. Nobody. Can't absolve nobody. His confessions are useless because he's not inside the Catholic Church. All right. And now, we can only imagine how many people are attending his chapel and they're all praying together. Well, this one might believe it's... Kissing the crayon is an act of love. Kissing the crayon is a scandal, but it's not idolatry. Well, Father Gonzalez said it's idolatry. Did he tell you that? Well, he never told me that. You know, and you got all these different opinions. Well, what is it? Is this just a matter of an inconsequential opinion that doesn't really matter about who makes a better apple pie and who has better ingredients? You know, I think her pie is better than her pie, and I like her pie better. Well, you can argue over that. Nothing's serious about that. But when we're talking about areas of the faith, it's a matter of eternal damnation. These are the truths that we have to believe in, that God has revealed to us. These are the basic dogmas. The basic dogma is the Holy Trinity, that Jesus Christ revealed this, the Son of God, second person of the Holy Trinity, and the Quran does not believe in that. An act of love? Love? Is it love to the true God to kiss a book that denies God? Pal, if he ever gets to hear my sermon, I don't care, other people believe like him, and you're under our power, we immediately would have locked that man up. Prison guard, come over here, put the cuffs on this man and lock him up and his whole family immediately. Immediately, put him on bread and water, and we're going to give him 1 month to repent or we're going to kill him. We're going to kill him. If he repents, then we're going to give him some serious penance and test him. I'm not going to let him walk even out of that restaurant in the parking lot and talk to another person. Because he says he's Catholic and he's going to pervert them with false doctrines under the name of Catholicism. I will not even let him walk out in that parking lot. I will not even let him go home and call his neighbor and tell him that filth that I heard out of his mouth. That's the way the church really treats these things. That's how you make a holy family. That's how you make a holy state and a country, a Catholic country. It's our obligation to do these things. But look, I assure you, they have the upper hand now because they control the world. But what about our Lord Jesus Christ? Is their fate in the end? Eternal damnation. The false prophet and the Antichrist, who they're following, whether they believe it or not, is going to be thrown in a pit of fire alive. And they're going to go down the pit with him. And God's going to use the Antichrist to rip them up even and punish them. And God's not going to be there to help them. All we have to do is sit back and watch the show. That's all it is. And I tell the people, when God puts the kibosh on them and he destroys them, I might be out fishing somewhere trying to catch fish for the brothers on a day when we're not eating meat. And they're going to say, Rich, Rich! New York City's blowing up and everybody's dead. Shut up and leave me alone till I'm done fishing. Don't you care? Shut up. I'm fishing. Don't bother me about New York City being blown up. Don't you? No, I don't. Why? Because I warned them already. How many times do I have to tell them what's going to happen? They deserve it. It's God's will. And I'm glad when God punishes this country. I pray that he will. I don't have to. God does this naturally. Anybody who's of good will, he's going to preserve. But they're going to be punished, and they're going to be on the mud, and they're going to turn to God then, those who are of good will. But without the chastisement and punishment, there is no hope for them. Until God takes all their toys away, punishes all their luxuries, and takes the pride of this great harlot down into the dirt. So God, the Antichrist is even going to be an instrument of converting people, whether he likes it or not. I always say the devil can never win. It's a lose-lose when the devil loses all the time. And and the people who he does win, they're losers. So the devil only wins losers. So he's a loser, you see? Everything he gets is a loser. It's a big zero. Even when he goes after to come to power, he's doing us a favor because by punishing these people, he's going to give them a chance to look towards us for help. Because there's only going to be two powers around at that time. It's going to be us Catholics and it's going to be him. And we're going to go at it head to head. And we're going to bowl this boy down. We're going to knock him down. He's not going to go up against the true God. He may martyr us, fine. That's not a defeat. We go straight to heaven. And that even makes more conversions and he knows it. All right, so let this little example be a warning to all you people out there about your priests. When they get up in the pulpit and they hold all these petitions privately and they don't say nothing publicly and they don't demand you people to hold it. I tell you how many times next Sunday when you're leaving Mass after you heard my sermon here and you're going to your non-Catholic church to go to Mass and commit 5 mortal sins, on the way out, I want you to do a favor. I want you to copy my abjuration that I have on my website and just point to any one of the numbers and go up and say, sir, I would like to just ask you, what do you believe on this point? You watch what happens just by asking them. They might bite you, punch you right in the face, tell you to shut up, or it's none of your business. Go ahead, try it. Try it. What is the Catholic faith? Pornography? That you got to hide it? Is it dirty? Is it filthy? In the meantime, go into their homes and look what they got showing. Look at the stuff around their house that they got, the filthy stuff they got and what they're looking at. Jesus said, "Who he was ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of him." Mark 8:38. He was ashamed of me and my words, and this wicked and adulterous generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him. And when you don't want to profess the faith, that means you're ashamed of being of professing the Catholic dogmas because you married yourself with the wicked world. Okay, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.